You're listening to the Product Podcast from Product School, featuring the best product leaders from Silicon Valley and beyond. If you're an aspiring product manager looking for your first PM role, or an experienced PM looking to level up your skills and advance your career, visit productschool.com to learn about our certificate courses and how we'll get you there. This episode is brought to you by ThoughtSpot, the modern analytics cloud company building a more fact-driven world with consumer-grade search and AI-driven analytics. With ThoughtSpot Everywhere, you can embed a highly interactive analytics experience into your data app and take your user adoption to the next level. Learn more and try ThoughtSpot for free today by visiting thoughtspot.com/everywhere. In today's episode, Kimberly Hicks, former VP of Product at Disney, will be sharing her wisdom on how to build an uplifting and powerful team culture. We want to build products that make people happy. And the first step to doing that is making sure the people that are building these products feel happy and enjoy the work that they are doing each and every day.
I'm thrilled to be a speaker today to tell you a little bit about creating inspired and collaborative teams. Today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my career path, my motivation for using some of these techniques, and then tell you about how I've structured team meetings, team activities, and other methods I've used to create inspiration. So how I became a product leader, I'm actually starting my next step in my career to be a chief product officer. So I thought it might be helpful, rather than giving you my full resume, to tell you a little bit about my background and the things that I felt helped me get to where I am today. I've got over 20 years product experience. When I started in product, my title was actually business analyst. You didn't see as many product manager titles then, and it evolved into that, I believe, when web and apps really came to the forefront and we handled them more as products rather than kind of a marketing tool. So I've seen my career evolve with product through that time. I have 18 years working with news, entertainment, and sports. The biggest thing I got from that is shifting to my stakeholders' needs. And specifically with news, they're in a time crunch. You have to be quick, to the point, concise. Any emails need to be bulleted. With meetings, get in, get out. Entertainment sports is a little bit different pace, different environment. So really how I conducted meetings, how I worked with the stakeholders, how we handled coming up with concepts was slightly different. So having that adaptability to shift and understand the needs of my stakeholders just in day-to-day conversation was really helpful in developing as a product leader. I also, when I was at Turner Broadcasting, I worked in the R&D group for 5 years. This really helped me to develop a hypothesis and learn how to test that, prove it out, and look for the thing that's working and shedding away the things that don't, which I think is really important when it comes to innovation and evolving products, is to see what's resonating and hone in on that, and to not have as much pride in, well, it was my idea, so I'm going to make it work, of really looking at what's best for the users, what's best for the business, and really evolving that and leveraging that innovation. I've also used several product methodologies. So way back in my career, we used Rational Rose. It's also known as RUP. And then Agile evolved and Scrum. So I'm a certified Scrum Master, and I'm very much a big fan of Agile. And I think the key to this is to have a methodology and to stick to it and keep those rituals. I think it's very easy just like, well, let's not do a retro. We all know what it meant, or what we did, what worked. And you don't always. And you get some insights to how to improve as a team and as an organization. So I think having a methodology that you stick to is very important. I also attended Stanford D School's design thinking program, which that really leveraged what I learned in the R&D group, but taught me to go out in the field and have those conversations and really look for the white space of what's missing, what's an opportunity, and how to leverage that. And really learned a lot of creative tools, which I think help lead me to some of the things I'm going to show you today. I also invested my time in leadership development. Even before I managed people, I used a lot of the programs through Women in Cable Telecommunications, also known as WICT, which I'm a member of. But if you're not a member of WICT or a member of any organization that offers leadership programs, look around for programs that do give you some leadership insight and really help you to be retrospective of who you are and how you operate as an individual contributor or as a manager. So I think these things all helped me really moved through my career path. Now going back to the collaboration and innovation, my motivation when I started at Disney was my passion for the Disney brand and for Walt's vision, which Walt's vision was very simple in the very beginning, was make people happy. And I love the simplicity of that because that's a really good North Star to focus on of, is this making people happy? And if it's not, then let's figure out how to fix it. So I really like that. And I really like the simplicity around it. A couple other quotes from Walt that really inspired me was one, never losing sight that it started with a mouse. I think even in a company like Disney, it's such a large company and you get so focused on your deliverables and what you're doing that you forget the purpose of the company and the purpose of what we do and the user's impression of the company and that heritage and that passion. So even if you don't have a brand like Disney, you should look for how do I create that network of users that really believe in my product and they're a fan of my product and really building on that magic that you find in your own brand. I also like this quote too, when you're curious, you find lots of interesting things to do. So I think keeping that curiosity of what's going on within your own business, outside your business, or even in the world, I think that really helps you to think of new ways of doing things and new approaches, which is really important. So my team at Disney was product, games, and interactive. And I want to explain a little bit the team structure so you understand the reason why it was so important to me to have a collaborative and inspiring environment. On the product side, I had everyone focused on a platform. So you either worked on iOS, Android, web, or connected devices. But everyone also owned a feature. So that really forced that conversation across the platform teams and made you think through of not only how would it work say, on Android, but how would it work on web? How would it work on iOS and connected devices and really help to develop those requirements? I also had everyone as a business unit point of contact. So it could be marketing, legal, content programming, or strategy teams. We also had my more senior people were brand owners. So they worked primarily with Disney Channels, with ABC, or with Freeform. I think the benefit of doing this is that it gave people the depth and breadth of knowledge of the business. So they were hyper-focused on their platform and maybe the features they're working on, but they needed to have a broader perspective to understand the business and the brands and what's important, as well as having conversations between each other on the product team. The other half of my team was Games Interactive. They were primarily focused with Disney Channel creating casual games, but they did work with other brands for interactive events and some innovative ideas. They're mostly game producers, but they focus on a wide variety of things. So live interaction, HTML5 games, Unity games, they have a realm of game mechanics they can pull on. Some of them worked more specifically with Disney Junior. Some of them work with older kids. Some of them handled our strategy around DCOMs, which bonus points if anyone knows what DCOM means. DCOM is Disney Channel original movie. So think Cheetah Girls, High School Musical, Descendants. So there's a lot of strategy that goes around that, which included our app and our games. So pretty broad focus of these teams, and they looked at innovation. So while very different jobs, what I really wanted is that overlap because the Games Interactive team was highly dependent on the technology and the product. So they really needed to be in lockstep for how they approach things. So when it comes to team meetings, I had everyone together for the team meeting. My original team structure, I call it winging it also, was I would do some announcements. Maybe we'd have a demo, open forum that I wanted everyone to speak at. But what really happened was either nobody talking or the one brave person always talking. And while what they were sharing was valuable, after a while, it just kind of seemed to go on. And people were like, well, so-and-so speaking again. I really wanted to hear from everyone and for everyone to understand what projects people were working on. So I was at a leadership conference and I heard some things from different leaders of how they structured their team's meetings. And it really made me think about the goals that I wanted to achieve. So I wanted people to understand the impactful work of every individual boost collaboration, increase the empathy for them to connect on a personal level and find inspiration. So I redid our team meeting similar to a stand-up. This is a template, and I'll share a link to a Google Drive with this template. You're free to use it if you want or modify it, but focus on what we're doing and what's inspiring us. So an example would be the last 2 weeks, three things your team should be aware of, not just the shiny, fancy projects. We all know you're working on that. What do I need to know is going on? So similar to a stand-up of what are your roadblocks? What's a challenge? And let's help each other fix that. And then looking forward to the next 2 weeks, the same thing. And then something that's inspiring you. So I'll give you an example of one of my status reports. And this was just pre-pandemic, so keep that in mind. I also just took on all of the entertainment products and had 7 new people moving to my team. So the previous 2 weeks, I was working on the new org. We were also talking with Radio Disney about some of their products, and I had a new intern coming on that we were planning what they were going to work on. The next 2 weeks, I was lining up the meetings for the entertainment teams. We were also working on our OKRs and then work on transitions for the product team. So how I was bringing those new people on. And then what's inspiring me, I just had returned from Mexico City and the food was very inspiring to me. I love Mexican food. So I really wanted to share that with everybody. It was also my last trip before the pandemic hit too. So I didn't know at the time how meaningful this was. Could be my last inspirational trip for a while. But it really creates conversation then, and people can say, oh, well, look at those tacos, or tell me about it, and you can have some conversation about it later. Some people would share books, movies, something with their kids. So it really allowed you on a personal level to get to know somebody. Also finding maybe a new book you're interested in, a new TV series you're interested in. So I want to share the results. So I don't want you to just take my word for it. So I did a survey across my team to see how they liked things and how it met the goals I was looking for.
This episode is brought to you by ThoughtSpot, the modern analytics cloud company building a more fact-driven world with consumer-grade search and AI-driven analytics. Build stickier product experiences by embedding ThoughtSpot Everywhere's interactive analytics interface directly into your data app or product. No more delayed release cycles or incremental UX improvements. ThoughtSpot Everywhere's developer-friendly platform replaces static dashboards with an interactive data experience in minutes, allowing users to intuitively dig into their data and trigger actions in their favorite business apps. Learn more and try ThoughtSpot for free today by visiting thoughtspot.com/everywhere.
So I did a survey across my team to see how they liked things and how it met the goals I was looking for. I used a 1 to 5-star scale. 1 is the lowest, 5 is the highest. So did it help people understand the work of their teammate? And that got a 4.6. Most of these were 4s and 5s, by the way, too. So that scale is leveling out the 4s and 5s, maybe a 3 every now and then. To help to know the teammates better, that was a 5. So that's great. I really wanted to achieve that. Help people feel valued as a team member, that was a 4.6. Help keep you informed, 4.6. And did it help keep them connected during the pandemic? 4.2. So that was a little bit tough because we were all suffering from Zoom fatigue as well, you know, all through the pandemic. So something to work on. And then did it help them to be inspired and motivated? 4.3. And I knew this was not the end all for inspiration. So I'll go into a little bit more of what we covered to create the inspirational moments. And I got some quotes from the teams. I won't read through all of them, but people like the What's Inspiring Me section. It really helped them to understand each other. And then during the pandemic, it really gave us some resources for things to read, things to do. So that was really helpful. But some feedback for Rooms for Improvement was that it could go on. So when I added people to the team, it pushed our team meetings to 1.5 hours. But this comment, you know, was it helps people who may feel their work goes unnoticed to be noted. And it was a balance between the projects, but it sometimes dragged on. So I think it would have been good if we were in person, I think, to restructure it a little bit. But being on Zoom, it was a little bit difficult to make any big changes because I felt like everyone really needed that FaceTime and that connectivity. So some tips. So plan to communicate individual speaking times and stick to it. So we had 5 minutes per person, and that worked out to 1 hour. And then when my team expanded to 1.5 hours. Ensure the slides are limited to 3 things. We would have people with 3 bullets, but maybe six things per bullet. So really hone in on what are the three things people need to know right now. It's not an exhaustive list of everything you're working on, and everyone knows that. Have a point person to collect the slides and watch the time, as well as to verify that you do have three things. Also to encourage more detailed follow-up conversations. So sometimes people would start talking about something, particularly either a problem someone's trying to solve or something that inspires them. So just be sure to have that timekeeper kind of like, hey, can you guys talk about this later? And then modify it, of course, as needed to fit your team's personality and needs. And I think doing surveys are a great way too. I love anonymous surveys because you truly get the feedback and no one feels like they are put on the spot. Another thing I did to find inspiration, because you see the team meeting alone was not enough, was to do some team events. So the goals of that for me was to remember Walt's vision, boost creativity, find inspiration, get outside of our day-to-day, and connect with team members. So originally I was doing some events every few months, and this is kind of what it became. My assistant and I were really trying to juggle things, come up with creative things, and plan everything. So it kind of got a little bit monotonous after a while, and trying to guess what people are going to find fun can get a little bit old. So I created what we call happiness events, and this then shifted the responsibility from me to everybody else. So great leader move to delegate and empower. The happiness guidelines was that we rotated organizers. We had 2 to 3 people per month, one event per month, and the organizers then reviewed the ideas with me prior. We had a very low budget, so for 25 people, we had $300. So the point of this was not to spend money and not to do these fancy elaborative events, and it really helped push the creativity of the types of event we would do, kept the focus on the purpose, and it never raised senior leadership with concern about, wow, they're doing like all these really expensive events all the time. Is it necessary? To me, it was more important to do lower cost more often than to maybe have 1 or 2 parties a year. Some teams didn't spend all the money because we did something internal that we used internal resources, or it was just a lower cost event. So we pulled those funds then for future events to allow us to do something bigger. So some of the other events we did, baseball games, we did lunch in a museum, we've done some VR experiences. We did things in the office too, ice cream Sundays, playlist Fridays with games and cocktails. We did a cookout in the park, volunteer projects, cake decorating we also did in the office. So we had a company bring us little cakes and all the decor, and we did it as a competition. So we did a lot of really fun events pre-pandemic. But then the pandemic came, which kind of changed everything, and we had to figure out how to adapt to this in many ways. My team did a great job though. They found all kinds of online fun things to do. So we did an online version of Pictionary, the mobile app game Psych. We found some Disney characters on YouTube that some animators have. So search that on YouTube and you can draw the characters. And it's really pretty simple. It's amazing how they break it down. We did some trivia with the Netflix watch party. One of the people on my team actually owned an escape room. So he did a virtual escape room for us where he was on site and we were all on Zoom. But you can see the list of great things to do. And I'm happy to share links to those things if anyone would like them. So the results of this, again, a survey, 1 to 5 scale. Did it help people feel valued as a member of the team? 4.8. Helped to know teammates better? 4.8. Feel inspired and motivated? 4.8. Did they like the rotation of the planning? Which I wondered about this because, you know, some people are more on the introverted side of the scale, some people more extroverted. But that was a 4.8. And again, those were all 4s or 5s, maybe a couple 3s in there. So some quotes on these was people love them. We even had people ask if we could do more of them, and I thought it might be excessive. So we kept them to once a month. But it was always something fun to look forward to. But one person did note that to not have it too close to a deadline. So that was something to be very conscious of, you know, not to do it at a time when a lot of people are on vacation or if we have a big rollout coming, something like that. So to be conscious of that. For FOMO, this is another thing that we did with my team. If you're not familiar with what FOMO is, it is the fear of missing out. This is something a past boss of mine at Viacom started, and it was kind of like a small town hall. I changed it to a speaker series to have internal and external speakers come in. And the goals was to hear from people outside of our team, learn something new, and connect with other teams. So I invited other teams to join in. We just did it open in our open space on our floor so anyone could come and sit in and watch. We didn't broadcast it even when we were in the building on Zoom because the intent was to have people there together and to have that inspiration together. Here's a quote, and this kind of gives you a summary of some of the people we had speak to. Was we had a director from the horror movie Ouija speak to our group. And then after that, we had one of the members of Goo Goo Dolls come talk to us. We also, those were probably the fanciest ones we had. We also had the president of Disney Channels, who's also very impressive, our head of marketing. We had a conversation about accessibility and why it's important. So a wide variety of things, but I think people really got a lot out of those events and actually would come to me and say, hey, I have this person that I think would be a great speaker for us. So that, again, extended to that empowerment to everyone else. Another reminder too is to celebrate everything. Birthdays, work anniversaries, if someone's getting married, having a baby, but also the product rollouts or future rollouts, anything big or small. And I'm a fan of some of the kind of lesser holidays that don't get celebrated that much, such as Cinco de Mayo, or especially in the workplace, celebrate it much. Cinco de Mayo, Mardi Gras, St. Patrick's Day, those are always really fun things to have people bring in food or dress up, anything like that. So that creates a lot of fun moments. I think the biggest thing from this is empowering your team. So as I said, as we went through this, people would come to me and say, hey, let's try this idea. We start a book club. The OKRs was someone on my team coming to me saying, I think this would be a really effective tool to use on our team. So he helped put together the OKR training and the initial sessions that we did. So I think by creating these inspirational moments, it transcends to creating more work effectiveness, which is really important. So some takeaways. Know your team. Really figure out what works. For me, I met with my directs every week, and then I met with everybody on the team at least once a quarter, but always made sure people knew my door was open if they needed to talk about something or had ideas to share or thoughts or concerns. Be conscious of time and current demands. This is an extra thing, doing these types of events. So be conscious of that you are allowing people time to work as well. Plus experiment, see what works with your team and what doesn't. Get feedback from them and then take action on that. And again, going back to empowering your team and being humble. You don't have to be the one with the ideas all the time. And I think often having your team come up with some way to work together and collaborate can be very, very effective. The most important thing is never forget the magic. Regardless of your brand, it doesn't have to be a magical brand like Disney. Everyone of us has that magical power in us, and every brand has that magic. So be sure to find that and leverage it. So thank you very much for participating in my talk today. I'm happy to connect with anybody via LinkedIn. And please just note that you listen to my talk on ProductCon just so I have that connection and know how we know each other. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Taking the time to write just a few sentences about what you love most about the show will help us improve it and reach even more product people around the world. And when you're done, why not reward yourself with some free product management content and resources over at productschool.com? Until next time, stay product-led.